بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، أيها المسلمون، seeking refuge with Allah from Satan, a rejected enemy, and with Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Allah, highly glorified is He, and supreme above all things. We say, Subhanahu wa ta'ala, says in His Quran, Kareem, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Kul, Kulun. يأملوا ألا شاكلاته فرابوكم أهلكم بمن هو أهدايا سبيلا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says in His Quran, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, الذين يستمعون القول فيتبعون أحسنه أولئك الذين هداهم الله وأولئك هم أولو الألباب. We say, Sadaqallahu Adeem, and Allah the Mightiest has spoken the truth. Dear family, dear believers, our focus today, and inshallah we'll call it the topic, it's a struggle to apply our religion, or it's a struggle to apply our deen properly. It requires sincerity and open-mindedness. Now, brothers and sisters, I have to be careful because there's certain things in our religion or the position that we take on certain things that are uncompromising. The position that we take on certain things that we're not open-minded to. But I want to say to you, I'm speaking more in the context of in the areas that we can compromise, so to speak, in the areas where we can be open-minded, and our challenge is the lines are not always clearly defined. I'm speaking in the context, yes, of leader community or within a community, but even more importantly, in the context of a family, in the context of husband and wife, etc. We have a situation in the Muslim Ummah, and it affects Masjid Bilal as well. And that's, I'm concerned about all Muslims, and certainly my first concern is us. We have a tendency to heap burdens on ourselves, heap applications and understandings on ourselves that actually make us miserable in practicing the religion, which is a dichotomy. This makes no sense. This religion is about peace, calm, tranquility, connection with Allah, realizing your fullest potential, being in that state of felicity, that state of calm, peace, happiness, tranquility, here so that you can get it in its fullness in the next life. And I want you to know, if you don't know, I don't like to waste people's time. So if I'm addressing this, believe me, some of us need to hear it. Some of us are struggling in this area, and I'm going to let you know that I'm laying a foundation for subsequent khutbahs to come as we address and deal with these issues, and Allah is the best knower. Let's go right in that, go now to the Quran and translate the ayat that I read in Arabic. The first one that I read says this, with Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Saying, everyone acts in according to his or her own disposition. But your Lord knows best who it is that is best guided on the way. brothers and sisters, very important. We are as different as our fingerprints. People can grow up with the same parents, within the same household. That's true of every one of us. And we're not like our brother. We're not like our sister. Our children are not alike. There's something, it's like that scent of musk. All oils, really, most fragrances, but definitely oils. You can put the same oil on multiple people, and the scent is slightly different. Brothers and sisters, we have to embrace that. We have to celebrate that. We have to respect that. And when we come at odds, when we sever relationships or break relationships or relationships become dysfunctional, it's because there's an unwillingness to accept the uniqueness, an unwillingness to accept the uniqueness or the difference that all of us have. If Allah takes time to reveal this in the Quran, it must be important. He is telling us, every one of you act in accordance with your own shakilah. Shakilah, translated dispositions, also translated manner. But brothers and sisters, it's not a mystery. You and I know that you and I are the sum total of our experiences, the sum total of our environments, the sum total of the wounds that gave us birth. I'm speaking of the metaphorical, the societal, the community wound. Our orientation in Islam is an orientation that happened uniquely here in America, like it happened nowhere else on the planet. Our orientation in Islam is different from the Pakistani orientation. And by the way, the Pakistani orientation is different than the Malaysian orientation. This has to be respected without us falling out and no longer wanting to be brothers. Allahu Akbar, Shakila, your own disposition. Allah is revealing we're unique. And Allah is also telling us, on the one hand, it's okay. Another place in the Quran, He says, I made all of your shapes and I made them beautiful. Allah identifies the different tracks in the mountains, the different colors in vegetation. He says, and likewise, I've done the same for the human being. My point, dear family, is that let's celebrate the differences. But what else is Allah telling us in this ayah? When I think I'm right, when I think it's my way or the highway, when I think my way or my orientation, my understanding, my insight is all that's acceptable, Allah comes back at the end of that after revealing to us, everyone acts in accordance with their own disposition, and He says, but your Lord knows best who it is that is guided on the right way. This is important. This should humble us. This should check us, so to speak. This should give me a moment of pause. Maybe my understanding is not the only understanding. Or maybe there's a better understanding. What is our topic? Our topic is that it is a struggle to apply our religion properly. It requires sincerity first. Sincerity implies an innocence. It implies a sincerity, an innocence, a purity, pardon me. And then I said, open-mindedness. See, brothers and sisters, sometimes we pray for things and then we don't appreciate the way Allah manifests those things or helps us realize those things. If you want purification, if you want to grow, if you want more in your life, you have to firm up. You have to evolve. You have to go. So Allah challenges you. He puts things that seem to be difficulties in your life, or same things that seem to be bad in your life. As we said a couple weeks ago, Allah says, what? You love a thing that's bad for you, and you hate a thing that's good for you. Life does not advance. You do not go forward without struggle. What is the other ayat that we read? Allah says, those who listen to the word and follow the best meaning in it, those are the ones whom Allah has guided, and those are the ones to endure with understanding. Again, Sadaqallahu Azeem, Allah the Mightiest has spoken the truth. Dear family, brothers and sisters, here again is further evidence. Now, this word is generic, meaning it's not kitab, it's not kalima, these are not the Arabic terms that are being used, it's not Quran, it's a general application. But though that is general, that leaves it open to be applied to all of those things. In other words, I'm going to invite us to first apply it to the Quran. Yes, study the word, study the Quran, and follow the best meaning in that. Study any word, any affirmation, any proclamation. See, in other words, that's how we live. We live by words. We develop by words. There's phrases, there's terminologies out there. And with phrases and terminologies, they can mobilize whole people. They can indoctrinate you with certain words that produce in you certain behaviors and activities. So we know that the word is powerful. The word, put it this way, words are things. Words make an impression. We go back to our leader, radiallahu anhu, he taught us words make people. And it also suggests that words are anything that makes an impression on your mind. It doesn't have to be spoken. It can be a gesture. It could be something in the body language. Isn't that what they teach us? Communication is only 7% verbal and 93% nonverbal. So you're getting something beyond my words, I hope. You're looking at my facial expression. You're looking at my tonality. Looking at my hands moving, whatever. All of that should be transmitting something to you. And it aids me in my communication. Again, dear brothers and sisters, we should be those that study the word and follow the best meaning in it. The obvious thing that we should be getting from this is there's more than one way to skin a cat, as they say, more than one way to look at a thing. And that sometimes even the lesser understanding is not necessarily bad. See, what you and I tend to do is conveniently make everything black and white. What we tend to do is if you don't meet this standard, this one is bad. This is unacceptable. You know, brothers and sisters, I like to use the example that, just bear with me. I'm going to keep it moving, all right? But I like to use the example. Allah says in the Quran, this day have I perfected for you your way of life, completed my favor on you, and the most average translation says chosen al-Islam is your religion. So this paints the picture that in Allah choosing al-Islam, He negates everything else. No. That word that's translated chosen can also be translated preferred. And that's the translation that I embrace. Preferred means that, yes, it's the best, but it doesn't negate the others. Preferred means it's the best, but the others are not devalued. See, I use the example like this. Sometimes I get very elementary, but I use the example. There's someone that has a high school diploma, an associate's degree. Another person has a bachelor's, this one has a master's, and this one has the PhD. Guess what? We would think the PhD would open the greatest possibilities for you. That's the greatest advancement. And logically, it is. But does that mean there's no value in an associate's? No value in a bachelor's? This is how I explain al-Islam to the non-Muslim public. We're not the only way of life. Now, some Muslims would say we are. In Allahu A'lam, yes, we are in the sense of obedience, submission. That's the only thing accepted. Allah rejects disobedience. But he says no religion will be accepted but surrender to Him, but to obedience to Him. And that's the common language. So again, brothers and sisters, why did I take this route? I took this route because of the ayah that we're dealing with. Those that follow the word and follow the best meaning in it. We must evolve. We must grow. We must strive for the best. Praise be to Allah. Praise be to Allah. That's where we're going with this. This is what we are. And again, don't forget how Allah ends it. It is those individuals that are not satisfied with weaker insights and understandings. It is those individuals that are not satisfied with mediocrity. It are those individuals that have this hunger, this thirst, this drive for excellence, this drive for following the best meaning. Allah is saying He has guided those individuals, and those are the ones really endure with understanding. But again, brothers and sisters, I have to be careful, because Satan can exploit this desire for excellence and make you arrogant. Satan can exploit this desire for excellence and make you turn your nose down at the one that has not mastered or has not the foundation or the capacity for where you are. Allah's not telling you this to put you down or to elevate you. I'm trying to put somebody else down or to elevate you. He's revealing to you something so that we can have good relationships, dear family. So that we can understand that this religion is about gradualism. So that we can understand and reflect sometimes on where we are today. Some of us have been Muslims so long that we forget how we were when we first got this religion. We forget our shortcomings. We forget our laziness. We forget our weaknesses. And when we see that in another brother or sister, we have a tendency to judge that brother and sister. We have a tendency to put pressure on that brother or sister. And Allah doesn't do that. Allahu Akbar. Now, let me tie one other thing in. And I'm getting close to the conclusion of this part of the khutbah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us this. Every ayah of Quran has a clear meaning, and it also has a meaning that needs further interpretation, further reflection, further contemplation. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "The same is true of my sunnah." Very important. Some of us are masters of hadith. We mean well, but we misquote the hadith, or we put the hadith in the wrong context, or we take it literally when maybe there's a figurative. Maybe the real benefit is in the figurative application, understand? See, that being a sound hadith, you have to reflect on that. If every ayat of Quran has different meanings, we're okay with that, because chapter 3 in the Quran, Ayah 7 says, of this Quran are verses clear of well-established meaning and those that are allegorical. So we have backup proof for that in Quran. And we have proof from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that his sunnah is similar. And I don't know, brothers again and sisters, this gets controversial. There's a whole group of Muslims waiting on the return of Jesus alayhi salam. And this hadith is quote unquote sahih. $2 word, sound, authentic. However, something that important should be in the Quran. I find no verses in the Quran that you could even loosely translate or interpret that Isa alayhi salam is returning. So perhaps there's a higher meaning to this. Perhaps, in my humble opinion, Jesus has already been resurrected. In my humble opinion, Jesus has already returned. I done put it out there real quick, just got to close the gap. Somebody else may hear this khutbah and think Imam Shaq is tripping, or he's about apostate now. You don't believe that hadith literally. No. Because Allah says in both biblical language and, excuse me, and in the Quran, that Jesus is a sign of God's word. So Jesus being a sign of God's word, there was an attempt to crucify God's word in the world. And Allah says in Quran, they didn't kill him, didn't crucify him, but it was made to appear that way. And the appearance is just like when the seasons change. The appearance is just like winter comes and the leaves fall off the tree. It looks dead and barren, but the right conditions, the right warmth, the right water, all of that comes back. And that thing that looks dead is revitalized, reborn. Comes back to life. It's resurrected. I say Isa alayhi salam is resurrected in the coming of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that word that made appear to disappear. Because Isa also said it's expedient that I go away. For if I go not away, the comforter will not come. I know this sounds real like preacher today, doesn't it? Connections, dear family. The Quran is the resurrection of Allah's word. The Quran is Isa returned. In one context, don't put all your eggs in this basket. There's other applications. I already told you, this is one meaning. You keep seeking for the best meaning. This one's working for me right now. But I'm not satisfied. I'm going to keep striving for the better meaning or for the best meaning. Allahu Akbar. Dear family, I've already said it. Religion is not meant to be a burden. I was listening to a group of scholars this morning, and this group of scholars, one of them shared a story about a sister that left the fold of Islam, meaning left the community. She didn't denounce the religion. She didn't stop practicing the religion, but she felt burdened, confined, and restricted in community. And it wasn't until she left the community that she had a greater appreciation, a greater commitment to the faith. I say there's something wrong with that. That we come among each other, we come among community, and we don't feel safe. We come among community, and we don't feel validated, respected, valued. And that's what this religion is all about. And brothers and sisters, I said community, but let's make it personal. Let's bring it close to home. We got husbands oppressing their wives in the knowledge, in the application. They quoting hadith, but they misquoting it. They're always pointing to their rights as the husband, but disrespect the wife's rights. No, brothers and sisters. You're not going to have peace and harmony. If there's something wrong in the home, it has to be everybody's concern. Some of us take the position, well, I'm all right, that's your problem. How can you be all right when another member of the home is suffering? When another, I'm not just talking about physically, that's obvious. In mental anguish, spiritual anguish. Yes. Children going crazy, whatever the situation is. No, Allah, this religion is not meant to be a burden. We have new Muslims in the community since last Ramadan. Gradualism, dear family. Gradualism. You forgot 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago when you became a Muslim. Gradualism. So brothers and sisters, let's, oh, there's more to say, but I'm going to cut it. I'm going to cut it. But I'm saying this, everything I said has potential to be misunderstood or can be negative or positive. And this is what I mean. It's all about sincerity. Isn't that what I said? I said sincerity is required to win this struggle. Security and open-mindedness are required. So what am I saying? Some Muslims will use gradualism to drag their feet, to keep their bad habits, to not work hard enough to improve and change yourself. You ain't fooling nobody but yourself. Allah knows your heart. So the balance, we have to have balance in everything that I say. And also, brothers and sisters, when we talk about this word khair is the word that we translate good, best, excellence. Remember, one of the meanings of khair is that you have to choose between two possibilities. This is very important. Because here's where we lose our balance again in the waters. Everything is black and white for us. I'm sorry, there are some shades of gray. Meaning that something that might be haram in one instance becomes lawful in another instance. That's khayr. Khayr also means that which is most useful to you. Useful, beneficial. And Allah, the most obvious example, we've used it often, but the most obvious example I can point to is the eating of pork. We know it's forbidden on the one hand. Alcohol is another example. Forbidden, but you can use it for medicinal purposes. You can use it for sterilization type purposes. It's all in how you apply it. But some of us just take the blanket. You know, you probably got a Muslim out there that says, I don't care if I'm starving, I'm out in the desert, I ain't eating no swine. Now, who told you that? There you are imposing something on yourself that Allah has not imposed on you. So brothers and sisters, the last point that I have to bring out here, and this always takes longer than I thought. When are you and I, if we want peace in our lives, if we want to stop the dysfunction in our families, the dysfunction in our relationships, broad, but start at home, when are you and I going to stop trying to mix oil and water? You can dump oil and water, but the properties remain distinct. They do not mix. What am I saying? I'm saying we try to apply a kind of pseudo-Islamic kind of thing in our life. We're compromising on the deen. We're watering down the understanding. We're making it convenient for us. We're changing the interpretation and the translation. And then we're shocked the way our lives come out. Shocked the way our relationships come out. Shocked the way Islam doesn't benefit us. You're not applying it properly. You're fighting against itself. Oil and water does not mix. And I guess I'll just bring it all the way home. Some of us brothers, we bypass Muslim sisters for non-Muslim sisters. And then wonder why we catch hell all along. Now don't get, you know, your brother's not extreme, but if I'm speaking to this, it's a problem. There are Muslim, non-Muslim marriages that can work better than Muslim marriage. I'm aware of that. That's an exception, though, to the rule. Most of us struggle and challenge because the brother swears he's going to change the sister. When I tell them in premarital counseling, if she's good enough for you to marry today, don't look for no changes. Accept her and love her the way she is. If she never changes, if she never embraces Islam, accept her the way she is. But we think we're on this mission. We think we can flip it. And then when 30 days goes by and she ain't took shahada tain, we're disenchanted. It don't work like that. Stop playing that game. This is an example of what I'm saying. You're trying to mix Islamic solutions with un-Islamic things. If you want a Muslim, marry a Muslim. Plenty of them out there looking, needing, wanting. All right, again, in the context. I think that's enough said on that. That's enough said on that. But I'm speaking to a mindset. I'm speaking to what the source of our dysfunction is. There's no God but Allah. This is His deen. It is perfect. We can't improve upon it. Don't be influenced. You know, there's other religious communities think they got an obligation to improve on Allah's word. We have no authority, no mandate to go into the Quran and make it better. You can't make it better. It's complete and perfect. Nothing coming but the fire. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammadin kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ali Ibrahim wa barik ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammadin kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ali Ibrahim fil alamin innaka Hamidum Majid. Amin. Allahu Akbar. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى يوال فرقان. We say صدق الله العظيم, and Allah the Mightiest has spoken the truth. You know, brothers and sisters, just kind of put a pin in the first part of the khutbah. I told you I'm kind of laying a foundation for subsequent khutbahs to come. And what I want us to focus on that is, again, don't be arrogant. Stretch yourself. Be willing to grow. Be open-mindedness where you can be open-minded. And understand that every community and every person will smell differently when you apply the musk, but it doesn't mean it's haram. In other words, many of our orientations have culture in it, and that's true of Americans too. We have our own culture, yes. We had an advantage on the one hand. I don't know, I don't think I want to, I'm not going to go ahead and get into that. But understand that, I'll say it. One of the advantages, particularly of us being first and second generation Muslims, is the way we approach and look at this religion through fresh eyes. Which means we question things and we look for the evidence Islamically to support certain practices. That can be a good thing. Where on the other hand, some folks that have had it hundreds of years, 7, 8, 10 generations, assume because their parents did it that it's Islam. And the culture is what's dictating. Well, brothers and sisters, we've been doing this long enough. I know in my family alone, there's 3 generations of us as Muslims. So I'm saying that to say we too can let culture creep in, and it can affect our religion, or infect and affect our religion, our practice of the religion, improperly. We have to be guarded on this. Though there's many great things in this country that are compatible with Islam, there's still some things we got to be on guard for, because Islam is the standard. So let's make things conform to that, and let us resist conforming to those things that are un-Islamic. Is that good? Can I move on? All right, praise be to Allah. Running out of time, you already, many of you recognize the ayah I already read. I read one in its entirety, and I paraphrased the other one. And these are the ayat, dealing with Ramadan. We know that by next Friday, inshallah, we will be in the month of Ramadan. It's going to happen before that. But my point is, by next Friday, we're in the month of Ramadan. So it's good for us to start shifting now, mentally. Start shifting and getting in that mentality, that mindset, that spirit. Because it's a blessed month. And today, what I want to do, you'll hear more again in subsequent khutbahs as the month unfolds, but I just want to remind us of a couple things. I'm going to just read through the ayat in Surah Al-Baqarah that deal with Ramadan with minimal commentary as we prepare our mindset for this. Let me take a look here. All right. Got 4 minutes. Praise be to Allah. The first one I read says, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. O you who believe, fasting is prescribed to you as it was prescribed for those before you, that you may learn taqwa. That's the Arabic taqwa, translated self-restraint, which is a residual of taqwa, God consciousness. We get that. This is not new. This is what we're going into the month for, discipline and self-restraint. Allah says, fasting for you for a fixed number of days, but if any of you is ill or on a journey, the prescribed number should be made up from days later. For those who can do it with hardship is a ransom, the feeding of one that is indigent. But he that will give more of his own free will, it is better for you, and it is better for you that you fast, if you only knew. So brothers and sisters, as challenging as it is in this Texas heat, as challenging as it is in our lifestyles, boy, I know my lifestyle all the time is not conducive to Ramadan, meaning I'm too fragmented, I'm all over the place. This is a time of focus. This is a time of consistency. We try to read the entire Quran. Days go by for me that I don't read the Quran. Okay, what kind of imam are you? I'm a real one, all right? I'm a real one. The rest of you getting it every day, alhamdulillah, wonderful. And there's always room for improvement. Allah says, Ramadan is the month in which was sent down the Quran as a guide to mankind, also clear signs for guidance and judgment between right and wrong. I'm going to pull up right there. The Quran was sent down in the month of Ramadan, and it is a guide, it is a criterion for what is knowledge, what is guidance, and what is misguidance. And it wasn't just sent to the Muslims, it was sent to all mankind. Allah continues by saying, so every one of you that is present in his home during that month should spend it in fasting, but if anyone is ill or on a journey, the prescribed period should be made up by days later. Again, brothers and sisters, we're not fanatical. Don't put yourself through undue hardship. If you have chronic health issues that require you to eat, or you gotta watch your sugar level, whatever the deal is, Allah don't want you falling out dead saying that I'm staunch, I'm firm, I'm gonna fast regardless. Yeah, we know brothers working construction, other things, pass out on the construction site and won't take no water. Are you kidding me? Make it up. You know, brothers and sisters, in this situation, Allah is telling you if you're ill or on a journey. Those brothers that have that situation in this Texas heat, you may only be, might end up only fasting on your days off. Well, that ain't much. I only get 8 days in at Ramadan. That ain't no problem. Do the other 22 the rest of the year. You got a whole year to make up 22 days. Yes. Niyah. I know everybody may not agree with this. That's all right. This is my 15 minutes. Don't worry about it. I gave you the evidence. See, we have to be practical in our application. This is the problem in the Muslim world. We have these extreme views, these narrow-minded, one-reading views that challenge us. My timer just went off, so let me quickly bring this to a close, dear family. Listen to this. After Allah tells you if you're ill or on a journey, you can make the days up later, He clearly says, Allah intends every facility for you. He does not want to put you to difficulties. He wants you to complete the prescribed period and to glorify Him in that you may be guided and that you may grateful. Brothers and sisters, this is for us. I know you're fasting for Allah, but you ain't fasting for Allah, if you understand the difference. You're fasting to obey Allah, but you don't do nothing for Allah. I know that, amen, again, you contradicted the hadith. The Hadith says everything in the son of Adam's life, which includes the daughters, is for their benefit, but fasting is for Allah, and He will reward it accordingly. I'm paraphrasing the Hadith. I'm not contradicting that. That has to be understood properly also. It is because of your selflessness. It is because of your hardship for the pleasure of Allah. Allah rewards you so many times that you can't put a limit on it. But for you to think that you're actually affecting Allah in your fasting, you're not. That's what I mean. Now don't stop fasting, because you are the one that follows the word and studies the word and follows the best meaning in it. Allah says, if I find this interesting, that in the middle of the Ramadan ayat, Allah says, when my servant asks thee concerning me, I am indeed close to them. I listen to the prayer of every supplicant when they calleth on me. Let them also with a will listen to my call and believe in me, that they may walk in the right way. Dear family, isn't this the month of increased supplication? Isn't this the month of increased dua? Are we not begging and asking Allah throughout this month? Are we not looking for forgiveness? One scholar put it this way, if you're not forgiven in the month of Ramadan, you just don't want to be forgiven. When you feed somebody in Ramadan, forgiveness. When you stand up for Laylatul Qadr, forgiveness. Tarawih Salat, forgiveness. But again, you gotta ask, brothers and sisters. You do have to ask. Don't take Allah for granted. Ask Him for forgiveness. But this is the month of forgiveness. Some of us think we're so low down that we can't be forgiven. Because I know we faking, we fronting, we ain't who we think you are. You understand? Skeletons all out the closet. Matter of fact, open your trunk, they're in your trunk too. You think you can't be forgiven. Even you, even I, inshallah, can be forgiven. In concluding this khutbah, Allah says, permit it to you on the night of the fast that they approach to your wives. They are your garments and you are their garments. Allah knoweth what you used to do secretly among yourselves, but He turned to you and forgave you. So now associate with them and seek with them. Correction. And seek what Allah hath ordained for you, and eat and drink until the white thread of dawn becomes distinct from its black thread, then complete the fast till the night appears. But do not associate with your wives while in the retreat of the masjid. Those are the limits set by Allah. Allah approaches not nigh thereto. Thus doth Allah make clear His signs for human beings, that they may learn taqwa. God consciousness, self-restraint, we say Sadaq Allahu Adeem, and Allah the Mightiest has spoken the truth. Now, dear family, the only comment I want to make on that ayah is this. It has come to my attention that Muslims are still misunderstanding the phrase in the ayah that says, eat and drink until the white thread of dawn becomes distinct from its black thread. That's just poetic language. The Arabic is Fajr. It actually says Fajr in the ayah. We understand the translation of Fajr to be dawn. Brothers and sisters, be clear. Dawn is not sunrise. This is for those that need it. And I can appreciate this because as a new Muslim, I used to be reading my 30th with an apple in my left hand, a glass of water in my right hand, until I saw that orange ball of fire called the sun. It's your brother, back in my development. That's how I interpreted it. That I could eat and drink until sunrise? No. Fajr is roughly an hour and 10 to an hour and 15 minutes prior to sunrise. You are to be finished eating and drinking by Fajr. We just want to be clear so that we get the most out of this. What we've done in ignorance, we're forgiven for. But now we have to walk in the light. Dear family, my prayer for all of us and your families is a blessed Ramadan. May it be renewed for all of us again. May we, when we read the Quran, we get the excitement and the exhilaration like we just read it for the first time. May Allah renew it for us, give us new insights and understandings. And may we have the discipline and the forgiveness and all of the blessings that go with Ramadan. You all remember, all of your sunnah acts become fard. All of your fard acts are blessed beyond our ability to count. So this is a special time, a special month. So the couple of us that are saying, Ramadan again, let's change that to Ramadan again. You see the difference? There's a difference. And that's our attitude, is that little thing that makes the big difference. Allahu Akbar. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Brothers and sisters, just be aware that regardless to what some Muslims are doing, Ramadan has been announced by many organizations. This community does a local sighting, so we don't know if Ramadan is Tuesday or not. Many Muslims have already declared Ramadan to be the first day of fasting, or the first day of Ramadan to be Tuesday the 9th. That may be the case, but the Muslims and members of Masjid Bilal and those in our association, we do a sighting in North America. We stand on the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, two hadith. One, paraphrasing, the sighting in one locale is not valid as a sighting in another locale. And of course, this doesn't mean Austin and San Antonio have to have a sighting. That's 70, 80 miles apart. We're talking overseas. We're talking, you know, 34 hours by plane. You understand what I'm saying? That's another time zone. That's another area. So North America, which includes Canada, we can have a sighting in North America and it's valid for us. That's what we do. Even though people now promote calculations, and there's even a hadith that suggests calculations, but the correct understanding of that hadith is when you already know how many days are in the month of Shaban, for example. And you know that, so for example, today is the 29th day of Shaban. And we know that months can only be 29 or 30 days. So tonight I go to look for the moon and it's cloudy. I can't see it. Well, at that point, tomorrow becomes the 30th day of Shaban. And the following day is the first of Ramadan. You understand what I'm saying? That's how you use calculation, not science. Even though Allah says, and again, I'm giving you this so you know when people start looking at you funny. We started yesterday, why y'all starting tomorrow? Well, because Allah says, yes, that the sun and the moon follow courses that can be computed. Rasulullah knew that, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's in the Quran for all times. But where do we get our application of the Quran? Which is the second hadith that we stand upon. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, begin the fast when you see it, and end the fast when you see it. That's clear for me. That's clear. So, personally, I will be doing a sighting on Monday night. And alhamdulillah, I have sighted the new moon several times. Yeah, your brother know how to do it. Alhamdulillah. Yeah, I just want you to know what we got here, all right? And the point with this is that we will be on a conference call with imams throughout the nation. So if Shakir don't see it in San Antonio, maybe El Amin sees it in Shreveport, Louisiana. If we don't see it in Shreveport, maybe Atlanta sees it, or Jersey, or Washington, D.C., or L.A., California. That's how we do it. So you know how I'm going to do. Keep your eye on your emails. Keep your eye on your text message. Hopefully, the website can be helpful. But Sister Olaya is on vacation, just as many of our members are on vacation. That's why it's a little light today. People are traveling and they're on vacation. Alhamdulillah, this is the time of year. But if you see on the website, July 9th, that's just an application she put on there. That is not the position of Masjid Bilal. All right, so stay tuned. The first day of fasting may be the 9th, but the stronger possibility is the 10th. And again, I'm saying this with knowledge. And just so you know, the new moon has to be several hours old before you can sight it with the naked eye. And I forget now, I think it's going to be 2 p.m. The new moon will be born 2 p.m. Central time on this Monday. So it's not going to be old enough for us to see it at sundown. But the next day we will. This is just for your information. So with that, family, again, Ramadan Mubarak. And may we get the best from the day's khutbah, and may we be able to apply it in our lives and be those that study the word and follow the best meaning in it, and that we win the struggle to practice our deen appropriately because we are sincere and we're open-minded. Pray be to Allah. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا افرغ علينا صبرا وثابر اقدام وانصرنا على القوم الكافرين الحمد لله رب العالمين آمين أقيم الصلاة.